Sounds True presents The Beginner's Guide to Shamanic Journeying with Sandra Ingerman.
When many of us think of the word shaman, it brings to mind a spiritual healer steeped in secret knowledge and mysterious powers. So how did a girl from Brooklyn get involved in shamanism back in the 1980s? In 1980, I was going to the California Institute of Integral Studies, where I was getting my master's in counseling psychology. For financial reasons, I had to work 60 hours a week, and I was taking 12 units a quarter. I was always looking for easy units. One day I was in the office in school and somebody walked in and told me that a man was coming out from Connecticut who was going to be teaching a weekend workshop on something called shamanism. They didn't know what the workshop involved, but they told me that they heard I could get 2 easy units if I signed up for the workshop. I looked at the page where people were signed up. I put my name down. I didn't even look at what the required reading was. I just showed up on Halloween of 1980. And what I learned is that shamanism is the first spiritual practice known to humankind. The practice itself dates back tens of thousands of years. And although the word shaman is a Siberian word referring to a spiritual healer, shamanism has been practiced not just in Siberia, but in parts of Asia, parts of Europe, Australia, Africa, and native North and South America. During my weekend with Dr. Michael Harner, an anthropologist known for bringing shamanism back into a modern Western culture, I learned that the practice of journeying can be used by anyone today in order to get answers for personal questions, to learn different healing methods to help others in the community, and also to work on world and global issues. In my weekend workshop, I learned how to use the shamanic journey to help with my own growth and evolution in life. As soon as I met up with my helping spirits in my first journey, I realized that this could become a wonderful practice for me in being able to solve my problems in life. I began the practice in 1980. I'm still practicing shamanism today. Shamans have taken on many roles in tribal communities. They've acted as the healer, doctor, priest, psychotherapist, mystic, and storyteller. A shaman is a man or woman who heals the spiritual aspect of illness, performs soul retrievals, and divines information for the community. The shaman interacts with the spirit worlds and acts as psychopomp, helping the deceased cross over into the other worlds. During our time together, you will learn how to use one of the most common methods of direct revelation by shamans worldwide to connect with spiritual helpers. This method is called the shamanic journey and is used to access personal spiritual guidance and healing to help others and the planet and to reconnect with nature and its cycles and rhythms. I will be taking you through the process of shamanic journeying, giving you all the instructions that you need to get started. But first, I would like to talk to you a bit about the process of shamanic journeying and give you a foundation from which to start. It is important to understand I will not be training you to become a shaman. Becoming a shaman is not a role one typically volunteers for. Rather, a person is called by the spirits and personal destiny to this profession. What I will be teaching you is how to bring a core practice of shamanism into your life so you can begin to have access to your own spiritual guidance. As you know, the time we live in today calls for us to stop giving our power away to others. It's essential for us to find tools for finding solutions to our own problems. As you work with the journey, as I teach it here, you might find that you use this method for your own personal healing, growth, and evolution. Some of you, after practice, might be guided to also use this work for helping others in your community and in your work to help the planet. Just the fact that the practice of shamanism has been around for tens of thousands of years speaks to the potency of the work. I think that the reason shamanism has survived so many thousands of years is the ability of the spirits to evolve and adapt the methods to different cultural needs and the changing needs of the time. Today, we're seeing a dramatic revival in working with shamanism in a modern-day culture. At one time, shamanism was practiced by hunters and gatherers to find food sources. In a traditional shamanic culture, you would see one or a few people in the community acting in the role of shaman and journeying in behalf of the entire community. Today, we see a range of people integrating shamanic practices into their lives. In my workshops, students, housewives, teachers, clergy, computer programmers, psychotherapists, lawyers, nurses, doctors, politicians, scientists, sign up to learn this problem-solving method. You might be wondering the reasons for this current revival. I think the reasons are many, but there are just a few I would like to share with you. People are looking to feel empowered in their lives by being able to access their own spiritual guidance. I've already mentioned the need for this in the time we live in. One of the key teachings in shamanism is that everything that exists is alive and has a spirit. Shamans teach their communities about their interconnectedness with the earth and all of life. It's interesting to note that back in the 1940s and 50s, quantum physicists discovered that there's a field of energy that connects all of life. Shamans and quantum physicists both speak to a web of life that connects us all. People today have a deep internal need to feel and experience unity with the web of life versus the isolation that so many of us feel. Practicing the shamanic journey helps people directly experience this connection. We have a deep need to reconnect with nature and its cycles and rhythms. Living in a technological society, we're often cut off from the natural world. As we're part of nature, we are searching for ways to reconnect with this nurturing part of life. We all yearn to once again flow with the river of life, which the practice of shamanism can teach us how to do. Shamanism teaches us about the importance of spiritual growth, as well as how to be in service to all of life, as well as how to find the meaning and purpose of our lives. As children, we receive great comfort by communicating with loving and caring beings in the invisible worlds. We were then socialized into believing that only what we could see, hear, feel, taste, and smell in the ordinary world is real, and anything else is in our imagination. There is a part of us that yearns to awaken from the spell that has been cast upon us, that the invisible worlds don't exist, and that we are separate from each other. Also that we are separate from life and nature, and that by only amassing material wealth is the way to happiness. On a deep level, we all know there is more to life than what we can experience in what we term consensus reality. The practice of shamanic journeying awakens us once again to the power of the invisible worlds and helps us to open the veils between the worlds, which feeds our soul on so many levels. In the practice of shamanism, there are many ceremonies performed, such as for healing and honoring and working with the cycles of nature and the cycles and changes in our own lives. Shamans also read omens as well as interpreting dreams. The ceremony we will be focusing on here is the ceremony for accessing information called the shamanic journey. Anthropologist Dr. Michael Harner is largely responsible for the revival of shamanism today. By studying different cultures around the world, he found that a practice that is common to all shamans is the shamanic journey. A shaman is a man or woman who typically goes into an altered state of consciousness by listening to some form of percussion, which allows their soul to take flight, journeying outside of time and space into what Carlos Castaneda termed non-ordinary reality. Through these journeys, the shaman retrieves healing help and information for patients, family, friends, and community by meeting helping spirits who make themselves available in non-ordinary reality. What is the shamanic journey? Where does the shaman travel to? As you listen to and read the stories of shamanic journeys in different cultures around the world, there are three worlds that are described. One world is called the underworld, or what many today call the lower world, in order to take away the negative connotation that people in a modern-day culture associate with the term underworld. There's the middle world, and then there's also the upper world. The lower world and upper world are outside of time, and the Australian Aborigines refer to these worlds as the dream time. There are many levels in the lower world and upper world, as we live in an unlimited universe. Through exploration of these non-ordinary realms, one can travel to different levels and experience varied landscapes, as well as communicate with different helping spirits who will have healing help to offer and great wisdom to share. The lower world is reached through a transition that typically is a tunnel leading into the earth. The landscape tends to be earthy, filled with mountains, deserts, seas, dense jungles, and forest. You can really feel the earth here. The upper world is experienced by many as being ethereal. The light tends to be bright, and the colors tend to go from soft pastels to complete darkness. When I journey to the upper world, I know I'm standing on something, but I can't quite feel the earth below my feet. The landscapes here can also be very varied. I might find myself in a crystal city, or just simply in the clouds. The middle world is present time. It is where we can speak to the spirit of the animals, plants, trees, insects, rocks, reptiles, birds, and fish. We can speak with all that inhabits this great earth. We can speak to the sun, the moon, the stars, and we can learn the great wisdom from the elements and nature. We can have access to the fairies, elves, devas here. We can also learn from helping ancestors who love the earth as much as we do. Classically, shamans journey in the middle world to find lost and stolen objects, as well as to do long-distance healing work. One of the beauties of the shamanic journey is the principle of direct revelation. This means that whatever you experience is right. There is no right way to journey. And this is all part of the exploration and wonder of non-ordinary reality to learn for yourself the qualities that go with the different territories. It will be part of your practice to explore the levels in the different worlds, to see what each level holds for you and for what knowledge you can gain there. You'll find yourself meeting different spirits in the different worlds who will have many gifts to offer you and many things to share with you. Who are the helping spirits the shaman works with? There are two main types of spirits that shamans work with. One type of spirit is called power animals. The other type of spirits are called teachers in human form. From a cross-cultural shamanic point of view, when we are born, the spirit of one or more animal volunteers itself to us to protect us and help us through life. When a person consciously is aware of these animals, it is possible to communicate with them, ask them for help, and ask them for healing when it is needed. When people are not aware of their power animals, more of an invisible support is given. Today, as I teach workshops, some people report whole teams and zoos of animals around them. But people generally have about one or two main power animals which they build a relationship with, while the rest might just act as general support. There are also teachers in human form who traditionally in shamanic cultures were the ancestors of that culture, the gods and goddesses of that culture. Today, people meet figures like Jesus, Mary, Buddha, and a variety of gods and goddesses. Don't allow your mind to limit the form of how a helping spirit will present itself to you. For example, you might find a young child presenting herself as a teacher. Or when you're looking for a teacher in one of the worlds, you might find a mirror being presented to you, meaning that you are your own teacher. The power animals and teachers are seen as intermediaries of the power of the universe or the source of creation, who have compassion for our pain and suffering and confusion, and therefore volunteer their help. In keeping with the evolution of consciousness, I find today that although our helping spirits have compassion for our troubles, they're more interested in helping us tap into our full creative potential and the joy of life. In this way, humankind begins to move forward into creating a world that embraces the principle of love, abundance, harmony, peace, and connection to the web of life. Power animals and teachers live in both the lower world and the upper world, and our power animals represent the species of an animal that are protecting you. So, for example, you don't have an eagle, a kangaroo, a squirrel as a power animal. You have eagle, kangaroo, squirrel. One has to also ask if shamanism dates back tens of thousands of years, which came first, myth of the shamanic journey. So it's not uncommon for a person to have a mythological creature like Pegasus as a power animal. Also, you can kill the body of an animal, but you can't kill the spirit. So some people do get extinct animals, as a stegosaurus could be your power animal. I've also heard people describe having a tree or elf as a guardian spirit. So, of course, in that case, we wouldn't call them power animals, but instead we would call them guardians. It is important to note that when a shaman looks at the spiritual aspect of illness, it can appear as a reptile showing its fangs or a swarm of insects. Reptiles can be power animals, and many people have snakes as power animals. Also, insects such as a friendly spider, a bee, or a dragonfly can show up too. When you are journeying, you would avoid swarms of insects and reptiles showing their fangs, just as you would avoid the same if you were taking a walk in nature in ordinary reality. How do I find the meaning of my power animal? It's important to realize that when a power animal volunteers itself to you, it sees you as a very unique being, with different lessons and opportunities to be discovered and explored in your life. Books can give you the physical qualities of animals and also the traits if you feel cut off from nature, but books are not going to give you what unique spiritual help the animal is trying to offer you. So, for example, I often hear in workshops that people get elephants as power animals to teach them how to lighten up. I guarantee you, you will never see the symbology of elephants teaching you how to lighten up in a book on symbology. Don't give your power away to others who are trying to interpret the spiritual lessons belonging to your power animal. If you are true to the practice of shamanic journeying, you would journey to the animal and ask what they have to teach you and why they came to you. The universe is treating you as an individual with individual needs. Allow yourself to revel in this attention and love. It's also important to remember that one species of animal does not have more power than another. A mouse has as much power as a lion, but both have something very different they can teach you. You will find yourself meeting many different helping spirits on your journeys. And as I have already said, you will find that you will have one or two main power animals or teachers that you work with for important issues in your life. You will find that there are certain animals that you learn how to trust and really rely on for help and who will accompany you on many of your journeys. For example, when I write, I meet a variety of spirits, but in my own life and healing practice, I depend on one power animal or teacher. Please remember, there are no rules in shamanic journeying. The only rule that does exist is don't use the method of shamanic journeying to harm or manipulate others, or to journey for others without their permission. But your power animals and teachers can live in both the lower world or upper world. They can travel with you in all your journeys. It's important to remember that spirits do not get jealous of each other. They're spirits. They don't have bodies. Sometimes they'll actually act out in a journey that they're fighting with each other. And it's important to understand that what they're doing is they're role-playing something that's happening in your own life. Power animals and teachers might change over time. As you honor them, it keeps them around a bit longer. You might find that by dancing them and moving and allowing them to fill your body with power, or writing a poem about them, or drawing a picture, or just taking some journeys where you say thank you, will keep your animals and teachers around you for a longer time. Many people wonder if it's okay to share the identity of their power animals or teachers. It's fine to share the identity of your power animals and teachers as long as you're sharing and not bragging about them. In shamanism, whenever you brag about your power, you get the big sure enough and you lose your power. That's why when you meet a shaman would never call himself or herself a shaman because it would be seen as bragging about one's power. So again, you can share the identity of your animal with people who are close to you. Make sure that you're doing it as a learning experience. How does a shaman alter his or her consciousness in order to go on a journey? When you look around the world, most shamans use some form of percussion, typically a drum, but you also see rattles, or in Australia, the shamans use didgeridoos and sticks. In some cultures, bells are used. You might also see monotonous chants being used, as among the Sami people in Lapland. They use yoiking, where they sing the same syllable or chant over and over again. Scientists have been curious about why so many shamans around the world have been using the drum for thousands of years. So scientists do what scientists do best. They hook people up to machines to see how the drum works. And what they found is that when we're in an ordinary state of consciousness, our brain waves are what are called in a beta state. As we listen to monotonous drumming, our brain waves slow down first into an alpha state, and then they slow down even more into what we call a theta state of consciousness. It's while we're in that theta state that our soul can take flight and enter into non-ordinary reality and have access to our helping spirits. We do know that in the Amazon, shamans use psychotropic plants, or what we call vision plants today. And there is quite a controversy among anthropologists on whether shamans outside of the Amazon use psychotropic plants in order to journey. Personally, I don't choose to get caught up in the controversy, as we know most shamans do use drums and other forms of percussion. And it is true that drumming and rattling are more appropriate and adaptable for our culture today. What are some of the purposes of a shamanic journey? You can journey for personal guidance by asking a question to your helping spirits. This would be called a divination journey, where you ask a question and then get an answer to it. You can ask any kind of question that's important to you. Questions that are related to your relationships, health issues, work issues. You can also ask for information that can help you grow and evolve. A common journey that I oftentimes take is, what do I need to focus on in my life right now? You can journey for answers for friends, clients, and the communities that you live in. But please remember that there are strong ethics in the practice of shamanic journeying. It is important to make sure that you have permission to journey for others. Otherwise, this is seen as voyeurism. The same rules apply to voyeurism in journeys as they do in ordinary reality. Let's say, for example, that you're having a problem with somebody at work. don't journey on what their problem is. You might want to journey on asking what you need to know for yourself. You might take a journey to a helping spirit to ask what you need to know for yourself to heal the relationship. Don't ask your helping spirits to send help to those who haven't asked for it. Asking for help is a key part of healing. Another purpose of journeying is where you can ask your helping spirits to perform a healing for you. In traditional cultures, the client went to a shaman and asked for healing help, and the shaman intervened in the spiritual realms on the client's behalf. The client did not journey for himself or herself. Today, as we all have access to our own helping spirits, it's always worth a try to ask your power animal teacher to perform a healing for you. Please note how to use the shamanic journey to help others and the explanation of how shamans perceive emotional and physical illness is beyond the scope of this program. But there are many resources available on this material if you're interested in learning more. You can also use the shamanic journey to go to one of your helping spirits and ask for an interpretation of a dream or an experience about something that has happened to you in your life. You might ask, "What is the learning I need to get from this experience?" Another purpose of the journey is just simple explorations of the territories of the lower world and upper world to see what each level holds for you. What are good questions to ask my helping spirits? What I've learned in teaching thousands of people to journey over 20 years is that one of the keys to a successful shamanic journey is setting a strong intention and learning how to ask the right question. Questions that begin with the words who, what, where, how are oftentimes good questions to ask. I would use caution in asking why questions. Sometimes they're a little bit harder to get an answer to. Some of us want to know why bad things happen to good people. These are part of the great mysteries of life that oftentimes our helping spirits will not give us the answers to. Also, it's important to understand that when we journey outside of time. So when questions are a little bit hard to get an answer to. You know how prophecies can be off plus or minus a few hundred years? That could be how your shamanic journeys are too. So I suggest that you stay away from when questions. There's nothing wrong with asking a question that has to do with a yes or no answer. But I caution people in our culture about asking yes-no questions. When you ask a yes-no question, you might not get enough information to make the best decision. The spirits see life as an adventure, and what happens to us is a learning experience. They will protect us from harm, but they will not protect us from our learning experiences in life. So, for example, a common question that people ask in a journey is, "Should I marry this person?" And your power animal might say, "Sure, go ahead and marry that person." And then later on, one finds that the marriage was disastrous. And then you start to question the system of shamanism. If instead of asking your power animal, "Should I marry this person?" you asked, "What will I learn if I marry this person?" then your power animal might have responded with, "You're going to learn all about betrayal." And then you say to your power animal, "I don't want to learn about betrayal." And then your power animal says, "Then don't marry this person." But if you just ask, "Should I marry this person?" the spirits see it as a learning experience and say, "Go for it." In the beginning of your practice, I suggest that you only journey on one question at a time. And ask questions that don't have an and or in them. The reason for this is if your helping spirits give you a symbolic answer, you won't know what part of the question they're answering. Until you become familiar with the form of communication your helping spirits use, it's helpful to just keep everything straight and ask one question at a time. If you want, you can always take another journey and ask for more information, and you'll find that one journey leads into the next, leads into the next. How I learned about asking the right questions was simply through experience, but I also asked my power animals and teachers to teach me how to phrase my questions. Remember, your power animals and teachers are here to help you out with your own growth and evolution, so you can ask them for assistance in asking questions and what would be best for you to know in your own life. How will the spirits communicate with you? There are different ways that the spirits communicate. Sometimes they communicate through telepathy, where you'll actually hear an answer, but you won't see their lips moving. A lot of times the spirits communicate through symbols, where they'll show you something that you have to learn how to interpret. The most common form of communication is through metaphor. I've heard a lot of discussions about why metaphors are so important to the spirits. When you look back over different spiritual traditions, stories through time, teaching stories, have always been told through metaphor. For example, the Bible was written originally in Aramaic, which is a metaphorical language and is very poetic. When the Bible was translated from Aramaic into Greek and then into English, the metaphors were translated literally, changing the meaning of the material. When the spirits communicate through metaphor, there are so many levels of teaching and perspectives we can get. When an answer is given literally, there is only one road to walk down. The spirits are trying to get us to expand our perceptions and open up to the principle of unity. How will I learn to interpret my own journeys? I find that a good way to start with working with interpreting your journeys is to ask yourself open-ended questions. An example of an open-ended question might be, how did the scene of the sun rising and filling me with warmth answer my question? Let yourself just speak or write in a flowing manner until the answer comes to you. A lot of times you might just have to sit with a journey for a while, and in time, clarity will begin to come through. Most important, do not ask others to interpret your journeys for you. Remember, shamanic journeying is a practice of direct revelation, and the only one who can interpret your journeys is you. You can also take another journey and tell your helping spirits that you didn't understand the answer or the information they gave you. Ask them to give it to you in another way that might make more sense to you. If you stay with your journeys and you keep asking your power animals and teachers clarifying questions, you will find your confusion clearing up. It's very important in our journeys to use all of our senses. Due to movies, TV, books, computers, we've become a very visual culture. Take a moment and imagine only being able to see the world and never hearing anything, tasting your food, touching the world around you, smelling the fragrances. It's the same in your journeys. Why would you only want to use one sense of sight in a journey? Life becomes richer when we can touch, taste, smell fragrances, and listen to the sounds of music and nature. As you learn how to use all of your senses in ordinary reality as well as non-ordinary reality, you will find your own intuitive abilities also strengthen. In the shamanic literature, the word shamanic seeing refers to seeing with your heart, not your eyes. The spirits make contact with you through your heart, not your mind. And it's important to remember that everything that happens in a shamanic journey is an answer to the question that you ask. Be observant of the weather in your journeys, where the sun is in the sky. All of that is going to be an answer to your question. Over my years of teaching, I found that there are many challenges for people in our culture practicing shamanic journeying. One is I find that most of us get stuck on the visuals. It's almost as if we want to watch TV or go to the movies when we take a shamanic journey. It is important to remember that the visual is only one sense. Oftentimes, people in our culture tend to interpret the journeys literally. Again, please remember the spirits like to communicate through metaphor. When you put a literal interpretation to a metaphor, your answers will be very different than what the spirits are really trying to communicate with you. And our biggest challenge in our culture is mind chatter. We try and move into a deep state in our journeys, and our mind just goes on and on. We get lost in the question, am I making all of this up? If I was going to say, what is the most common question that is asked in my workshops? Almost everybody asks the question, am I making my journey up? It's important to have compassion and patience with yourself and recognize the culture that we were all raised in. Your parents did not talk to you about power animals and helping spirits at the dinner table. You were socialized out of believing that there are spirits and that the invisible realms exist. Think of how many years you live closed off to these worlds. And now I come along and tell you that these precious worlds are real and do exist. What I do in my journeys when my analytical mind comes in and says, you're making all this up, I simply agree and keep journeying. I find that if you try and battle your mind, you will spend your whole entire journey in internal dialogue. The most important thing is to watch your results over time. Shamanism has been passed down as a result-oriented system. If the shaman couldn't divine food sources or perform successful healings, the community didn't survive. So what you want to watch for is, does the information make a difference in your life? Does your life change in a positive way from performing shamanic journeys? Over time, you'll start to notice many different synchronicities occurring from your shamanic journeys. These are the things that start to help quiet our mind, but it takes time and it takes patience. The biggest challenge for all of us is getting our ego out of the way so that the power of the universe can come through. We need to let go of our ordinary thoughts and concerns, which keep us anchored here. There's a metaphor used in the ethnological literature that I think really describes the state that we want to be in. In the literature, the shaman is called a hollow bone. In traditional shamanic cultures, shamans dance and sing for hours before they start performing any spiritual work. This breaks down the egoic barriers that keep the shaman separate from the spiritual worlds. It also opens the shaman's heart up to truly be able to receive the healing power and wisdom that the universe has to offer. Another challenge in our culture is being too serious about your spiritual practice. The spirits are always going to try and get you to laugh, lighten up a bit. This is a real way to heal, expand. Humor is part of life. Being so serious in your journeys in life creates restrictions and makes you feel limited with your own creative potential. Here are some keys to a successful journey practice. Make sure you set an intention, meaning be very clear about the purpose of your journey. It's important to be able to maintain concentration and not get distracted by mind chatter and concerns in your ordinary life. You'll find that there are better times of the day to journey when you feel fresh and your mind is clear. I wouldn't suggest journeying while your mind is cluttered with a lot of details. If you eat a heavy meal before you journey, it might be too difficult to concentrate and stay alert. Please avoid drinking alcohol before journeying for the same reason. Alcohol makes journeys very fuzzy. I would suggest that you breathe into your heart. Breathing into your heart will shift you from a mental state into a heart space. The spirits communicate with you through your heart, and you will be seeing through your heart in your journey. You might be wondering how often you should journey. You can journey when you have a question or when you're in need of some spiritual help or healing. I find the spirits to be very helpful when I have to write or trying to work on a creative project. It's important to not just keep journaling and collecting spiritual information. Let some time go by so you can put the information you receive in the journey into action, except, of course, when an issue arises that you need to journey on. It's important to note that sometimes when you're too emotionally attached to the outcome, or when you're in a deep emotional state about your own life or the life of a loved one, you might not be able to move yourself out of the way to access spiritual guidance. In this case, you would need to find someone to journey for you. Another question might be, how will I know when to journey to the lower world or upper world? Please remember that styles change. Your journey practice will evolve over time. For a while, you might find that you get better results from journeying to one world for a while, and then months later, you might find yourself more comfortable in another world. With practice, over time, you'll begin to notice where you get the best type of information and for what kinds of questions. In a journey, you have a choice whether to journey to the lower world, the middle world, or the upper world. So how do you know which world to journey to? What you're going to notice is that over time, the style of your journeying is going to change. For a while, you might be what I would call a lower world person, meaning it's easier for you to access the lower world. And then months later, you might find that it's easier for you to access the upper world. You'll also notice over time and with practice that your power animal gives you answers for certain things in your life, and that your teachers are better at answering other kinds of questions and dealing with different issues. In my own journey practice, I find that my power animal gives me information for myself and is who I call on whenever a client comes to see me. My teacher is who I access when I'm writing and dealing with more global community types of issues. You can move between the worlds. So let's say you go to the lower world and talk to your power animal and get an answer. From the lower world, you can journey to the upper world and maybe talk to another helping spirit like your teacher and ask for a second opinion. Power animals and teachers might change over time. They might stay with you for years, or you might find new helping spirits present themselves to you as you need different kinds of help. There is no right way or wrong way to journey. Allow your journeys to the different worlds to be fluid and organic. Explore different levels up and down. Meet new helping spirits along the way who will be willing to guide you on your path in life. Be an adventurer. Take in the love, wisdom, and healing the spirits and the universe are trying to share with you. Look for the surprise element. There's always a surprise element in journeys, something that you didn't expect. Think of your shamanic journeying as a work in progress. It will deepen and grow as you continue the practice. The key is practice and developing a long-term relationship with your helping spirits. Over time, you'll learn to develop trust and good communication skills with them. There is much more to the practice of shamanism than I have time to share with you here. This is just a beginning to initiate you into the practice of shamanic journeying. So let's begin. I will now describe specific journey instructions for you to follow. Please don't listen to the drumming which follows these instructions while you're driving, as it might alter you a bit too much. Disconnect your phone and work in a place where you won't be disturbed by loud noises or others around you. Find a comfortable location. You can journey lying down or sitting up. Remember, you will have a clearer journey if you are alert. The drumming can be quite relaxing. If you fall asleep, that's fine. As I mentioned earlier, you might need to find the times of day that are best for you to journey when you're not too tired to concentrate and when your mind is not as active. You might wish to put something over your eyes to block out the light. Shamans see in the dark. It's a lot easier to journey in total darkness. Some people like to close their shades and curtains. Do whatever is comfortable for you. You might want to use headphones during the drumming, as you might feel it more in your body than if it's on external speakers. It's important to remember that you are in full control of yourself in the journey. You can choose to go to the upper world, or to the lower world, or to the middle world. You can walk up to an animal and talk to it, or you can back away from it. You cannot control what spirits meet you and what they say to you. In this way, journeying is different than a daydream, where you make up all the characters and the whole conversation. You can try taking a walk, doing some kind of movement exercises, dancing, singing, or chanting, to get oxygen moving through your system. This will get you into your heart and into a place of feeling unity. As I mentioned earlier, movement, dancing, chanting, singing helps to move the ego out of the way so that the power of the universe can come through. If this is not an option for you to include before your practice, then you can go straight into the journey. Just remember to take some deep breaths into your heart. I've never met a person who couldn't journey. I have met lots of people for whom it took many tries. If you don't have what you would term a successful journey, please do not become discouraged. Keep up the practice, relax, keep breathing into your heart, open up all your senses beyond just your visual awareness, set an intention, and in time you will be journeying. You might want to experiment with a longer drumming session, or even drumming for yourself can move you out of a mental state. Don't give up and have some patience. We live in a culture where we want everything right now. The shamanic journey is a lifelong practice. There is no place where you should be after only a few journeys. It's a spiritual practice with no destination. If you lose your concentration during the drumming, make sure you're breathing into your heart and keep repeating the intention of the journey and what you are asking for. By repeating your intention, eventually you will come back on track. I will now present you with some options for your first shamanic journeys. For a first journey, you might wish to visit the lower world to meet up with a power animal. Another journey to try is to go to the upper world and ask to meet a teacher in human form. At another time, you can reverse these two journeys and ask to meet a teacher in human form in the lower world and a power animal in the upper world. You might also journey to visit the spirit of a tree or plant or an element in nature, such as a river, that you wish to communicate with in the middle world. Or you might choose to do a middle world journey to find a lost object. If you journey to a part of nature like a tree, plant, river in the middle world, you are communicating with it in present time. If you journey to that same plant, tree, or river in the lower world or upper world, you are journeying in the dream time and outside of time. George Washington Carver was a very respected botanist whose work you might be familiar with. He gained his knowledge about cultivating plants from walking through the forests and talking to them. Basically, this is the same concept as journeying to an aspect of nature in the middle world. The middle world can be a little bit complicated to work with, as there are many different types of spirits who live here. It is fine to journey to speak to the spirit of a tree, a plant, a river, the wind, or some other aspect of nature that you'd like to learn about. But for further journeying in the middle world, you will need more training. And of course, please always remember your power animals and teachers can travel to all the different worlds with you and accompany you on your journeys. You can even call your power animal or teacher into the middle world, not by journeying, but just calling them to you. In this way, they'll fill you up with power whenever you feel like you need some help in your daily life. Here are some instructions for how to get to the different worlds. Before you begin your journey to the lower world, think about a place in nature that you've been to that you can use as your entrance. Traditional ways of going to the lower world are through an opening in a cave, a body of water, such as a lake, river, stream, waterfall, tree trunk, volcano, or even a hole in the ground. Any way you can get into the earth is fine. You don't have to have been in this opening. You don't have to have been in the volcano. Just know that it exists in ordinary reality. When the drumming begins, enter into the opening, and you will find yourself in a transition that might appear as a tunnel that leads you to the lower world. Follow the tunnel out into the light while you keep repeating your intention to yourself. Your intention might be, I want to meet my power animal in the lower world. Come out into the lower world and look around you. Notice if you experience the sense of a helping animal waiting for you. If your animal is there, ask it, are you my power animal? This will give you information on how your animal communicates with you. It might answer you telepathically, or it might lead you somewhere or show you something. Once you have an answer from your animal, you can start to build a relationship with it. This is a time where you can ask your power animal a question, or you can also ask it for healing help. If you want to visit more levels in the lower world, you can keep looking for openings down into the earth. Stay in the journey until you hear me call you back. If for any reason you want to come back beforehand, just retrace your steps, take off the headphones, and you will be back. And remember, if your experience differs from my directions, always go with your experience and let go of my directions. To get to the upper world, you also want to begin in some location in nature. In shamanic traditions, some shamans use the tree of life and journey down the roots into the lower world and up the branches into the upper world. Other traditional ways of going into the upper world are climbing up a rope, a ladder, jumping off a mountain, going up on a tornado or whirlwind, climbing over a rainbow, going up the smoke of a fire or chimney, finding a bird to take you up. Any way you can get up is fine. Before the drumming begins, just simply find a place in nature that you can experience yourself standing in, and once the drumming starts, notice what appears to you as a way to transport you up. As you journey up, if you are seeing planets and stars, you're still in the middle world. Keep focusing on your intention, which is you would like to meet a teacher in human form in the upper world. There will be a transition that you'll go through that will let you know you have entered a new territory, this territory being the upper world. For some people, it's a cloud layer or a layer of fog. It's not a barrier, it's just a transition. Go through the transition going to the first level of the upper world. Notice if there's a teacher waiting there for you. Ask, are you my teacher? If you get an affirmative answer, ask your teacher a question that might be important to you, or you can ask for a healing for an emotional or physical issue. If your teacher is not waiting for you at the first level, keep searching through the different levels of the upper world until you find someone. Please remember that when your teacher answers you or communicates with you, it might not be with words, so be observant to the motions of your teacher everything that you're experiencing. Once again, stay in the journey until you're called back. For a journey in the middle world, you can experience yourself during the drumming, walking out your front door, and traveling to some aspect of nature you would like to communicate with. Or you can travel very quickly through the middle world looking for something you lost. In the middle world, you can move quickly through different locations without ever having to leave your house. When you hear the return beat, just retrace your steps back into your room. Remember, as you journey through the different worlds, you might not see visually. Notice what you're feeling, sensing, hearing, and tasting. I will now go over the drumming and the callback with you. I'll be drumming like this. For about 10 minutes. For some of you, 10 minutes might be too long, and for some of you, 10 minutes might be too short. This is just a beginning. When it is time to come back, you'll hear a change in the drumming that sounds like this. At this point, say thank you and goodbye to whoever you were talking to. Even if you are not with a helping spirit, say goodbye, for this means to your psyche that the journey has ended, and it will help you feel more grounded afterwards. Then when you hear the rapid beats for about a minute, slowly retrace your steps back to your starting place. When you hear the last change in beats, that will sound like this. Take off any eye cover you were using and open your eyes. At this point, you might wish to take some notes on your experience or just lie and sit quietly, reflecting on your journey. Remember, coming back from a journey has to do with pure will and intention. You can always take another journey at another time if you didn't finish getting all the information. You can journey again to visit a different realm in non-ordinary reality. If you asked for a healing and felt that you received one, you might wish to repeat this journey again to deepen the results. I will begin by doing some whistling and rattling for a few minutes, which will help prepare the space for you. Whistling and rattling is a way to help call in our helping spirits. So to begin, get clear on your intention. Do you want to go to the lower world, the middle world, or the upper world? Is this journey so that you can explore these realms? Or do you want to ask a question or ask for a healing? Once you are clear on the purpose of your journey, repeat the purpose to yourself about 4 times. Experience your starting place on Earth and take a few deep breaths.